Welcome to BizRocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for BizRocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Welcome to BizRocket Radio. This is John Baker here on another great Wednesday here in Atlanta. BizRocket's an opportunity for us to get a chance to interview and talk with executives and business owners here in the Atlanta area. Today we have a treat for us. Dave Sutton with Top Right is here to talk to us about social media and actually, he's written a few books on it and does consulting on the topic, really about results in social media. There's a lot of people out there right now talking about how do you use social media, what do you do, what do you say, how do you say it. Dave's done a lot of research and insight into how do you get results from it, how do you actually get something from the time that you put into social media. So I am definitely looking forward to the insight, not to load you up too much here to start with, but welcome in.
Thank you. Thanks.
So, Dave, maybe you could tell us a little bit about your background and kind of how you got into this field.
Sure. Well, I like to joke with my friends, John, that I'm kind of a recovering engineer. I started my career, learned basically how to be a very analytic and business-focused guy because, as an engineer, you have to know how to build stuff and why things work the way that they do. But I discovered very early on when I got my first job that I wasn't an engineer, that I had more of a creative side to what I like to do. And so I went back and got an MBA in marketing. And so I'm kind of one of those strange guys that's got both the art and the science, the
right.
Left brain, right brain. My wife kind of jokes with me that sometimes I don't have a whole brain. but, it's definitely in my background that I enjoy, not only how things work, but also what really grabs people, what engages them, what gets them kind of excited about, whether it's a marketing campaign, a sales initiative, a service offering, what is it that makes that special? And I think it's a combination of that science and art.
How did you get into the social media side of things?
Well, I've been doing marketing consulting for, 20 plus years now. So obviously the evolution, if you look back to the 70s and 80s when, guys like us were growing up, it was all about computers, right? As technology was the driver of innovation.
Yep.
When the internet hit in the mid-90s, everything shifted to e-commerce, e-retailing, a lot of internet-focused business models.
Yeah.
And just within literally the past 5 years, I'd say, maybe even the past 4 years, the social space has become the primary source of innovation for sales, marketing, and service operations. So my natural progression has been kind of from that technology into the marketing and internet world and now into social media.
There's so much talk about social media, obviously, huge buzzword. And we've had other people on the show that have talked about the social media side of things. From your vantage point, how do you actually make social media viable? How do you make it work for you as a business owner or as an executive?
Well, I think the challenge is that a lot of people look at it as something that's disconnected from what they do today. So, the businesses I work with, the successful businesses, have integrated social into their current strategy. So rather than viewing it as sort of this external thing that they can choose or not choose to participate in, they've woven it into everything that they do. We can talk more about sort of how they do that.
Yeah, give me an example of that.
Well, a lot of companies view social media as a sort of this thing that they don't have to be a part of, right? So it's 24, 25-year-olds out there tweeting and posting stuff on their Facebook pages, and it's irrelevant for my business. Well, the reality is, even if you don't sell your product on the internet, you've got employees who are out there tweeting and talking and communicating, probably talking to their friends about the job where they work. They're probably talking about the stuff that they bought, the movie that they saw. And so that dialogue, whether you like it or not, you have to be a part of it. You have to find a way to participate. We'll go into more detail, I'm sure, today about how to do that. But the number one thing that I see, especially small business owners today, they fall into one of two buckets. They're either ignoring social media and saying it doesn't apply to my business mm-hmm. because I'm not going after 18 to 24-year-olds.
Yep.
Or they're jumping right in without a strategy. And what happens is, and you've probably seen this, I'm a big Facebook user. I'm a big Twitter, I got my Twitter handle. I push stuff all the time. And one of the things I hate is I see that new person coming into social media. And the first thing they do is they're trying to say, hey, look at me. I'm buy my stuff, right? And that's exactly the wrong thing to do with social media because people recognize that all you're there is to promote yourself. You're not there to participate in social media. And there's a big distinction there.
It's almost like unwritten rules of social media.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sometimes I use the analogy of a cocktail party. Like if you're going to a cocktail party, you walk into someone's house and the first thing you do is, hey, look at me, talk to me. You're not going to get invited back.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
for sure. The best thing to do is, and this applies to social media as well, is to listen first, choose the conversations that you want to be a part of where you can make a contribution and be relevant. And then expand from there. And you'll find that social media is very much like a cocktail party where, if you want to meet somebody, the best way to do that is probably to listen to them first about what they care about and then engage them if you have something to say about it. And the next thing you know, you're in a dialogue.
What about the size of the companies, large companies, small companies, one-person companies? Is there anybody that social media, you're not ready for social media yet? You got to wait. You got to get yourself together before you really start using it as a tool.
Well, like I said, I think the rule of thumb is don't jump in blindly. And this applies to, yesterday I was with a huge automobile manufacturer up in Tennessee. They've done some things that I wouldn't do with social media. Really smart people, really smart big company, lots of money. You can be big and make big mistakes, and you can be little and make big mistakes.
Yeah.
So this applies to everybody. I don't think it's a size of business issue. I think it's more of a strategy issue. So if you're the one-man band kind of business, you're going to have some kind of presence in social media, regardless of the kind of business that you're involved in. And you've got to find a way to tie it back into your strategy. And, every business out there, if you don't have a strategy, that's a whole different, we could have a whole show just about that. But
right.
In the social world, it becomes painfully obvious if you're basically just launching in and blindly participating, if you don't have a goal. A strategy, by the way, is nothing more than a very, very distinct, clear plan that's articulated to achieve a specific goal. It's that simple, right? So social media, what are you trying to accomplish? How is this going to help you build your business, bring customers in, service your customers in a better way, attract employees, whatever it is, right? All of those things are possible through social media.
Well, strategy is a big piece, and I know this is a very long question. Again, we could spend a show answering it and probably two shows, but maybe you could hit some high points for us. When you think about businesses out there, what are some of the various strategies that business should be thinking about, from branding to marketing to actually trying to sell to networking or relationships, et cetera? Can you just kind of hit some of those high points for us?
Yeah, and for today's show, I really wanted to go deep on one of those areas, which was innovation, which we'll come back to. But, think about it this way. Social media, in many respects, has a lot of similarities to traditional media, whether it's radio like this or TV or print. It's a great communication vehicle. So whether you're trying to sell something, you're just trying to attract prospects, you're trying to recruit talent, there's a lot of different ways that you can essentially use the channels to get your message out. Now, the trick, the difference, okay, and this is something that a lot of small business people don't necessarily grasp instantly, but social media as opposed to traditional media, it's everything's bidirectional, and a lot of times you have absolutely no control over that dialogue. So I consult with big companies, for example,
yep.
who are worried about their reputation. They're people are saying things out there about Chick-fil-A, for example, which for those of us who live in Atlanta know that was a big deal the past couple of weeks.
Yep.
It still is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Your CEO goes out and says something, and next thing you know, you've got this viral, messaging going all over the globe about the brand And so branding becomes a big issue. I don't even talk about branding anymore. It's like reputation management is a huge issue on social media. Why? Because people are going to say things about you, whether they're true or not. And if you're not listening, you'll never know.
Right.
And you have no way to respond. So branding, selling, marketing, servicing, social media really provides an avenue for doing all of that. But in the absence of strategy, it'll happen without you. You know, you just have to figure out a way to connect to it.
So let's talk about some details on that strategy. What do you do to create that innovative approach to social media to get results that you're looking for?
Exactly. Well, the number one thing in strategy for social really kind of boils down to conversations. So as a marketer, right, most marketers think in terms of campaigns, right? I want to sell this pen. I'm going to push out these messages. I'm going to target these individuals. The problem with that thinking in social is that it's really no longer about me talking to you, John. It's about me conversing with a bunch of different people who may or may not have any interest in buying that pen, right? But they may, some point down the line, you know, want to actually have a conversation with me about buying something.
Right.
So the strategy begins with understanding what conversations you need to be a part of. And even if you're just listening, you know, you may not engage at all. You're just trying to listen to what people like and dislike, right? That's the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The next piece about strategy, and this is the most important part of strategy, a lot of people forget, strategy is mostly about what you don't do. So making trade-offs is extremely important. The best example, you know, for those of us that travel a lot, you know, look at Southwest versus Delta. Southwest has made very deliberate trade-offs. You know, they don't have boarding passes. You line up. They don't serve you food. There's more things that Southwest doesn't do than they do, right? Bottom line is they're a big bus that gets you from one point to another.
Right.
Delta's gone the other way. They have a full service offering with a lot of capabilities around it, but very distinct strategies. They can be both very successful, by the way, but they've made very specific trade-offs.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with social. You've got to decide, where do I want to be? Where do I not want to be? You know, the big four, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Pinterest today, I'd add to that mix. Mm-hmm. Those are places you probably, everybody has to be at some level. There's also a lot of their forums that are out there, blogs. There are, you know, Google Plus, which I think there's some debate about whether you need to be there or not. The old MySpace. I mean, there's a lot of things that you don't have to do or may not have to do relative to your brand. So making trade-offs is a big part of strategy.
And it sounds like you, with the marketing background that you've had, and clearly social's kind of evolved into this thing that's the hottest topic right now. But it, like you said, it used to be radio and TV and internet and websites, and something else will be next. How do you use that experience on these other avenues to kind of meld and marry in with social?
Well, it's a great question, because another big flaw that I see in what people do today is they are not connecting it back to those traditional forms of media. So the most successful campaign strategies that I've seen work have been part and parcel of a traditional integrated campaign. So you're doing something with TV, you're doing something with radio, you're doing a sponsorship with the Braves, and you're also doing something on Facebook, right? Those integrated programs tend to get much better followership as well as conversion of leads into sales.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because from a consumer's perspective, you look at it from just the participant, right? It looks like you're telling me a story, right? It's end-to-end, it's consistent, it's not, you know, disjointed.
Right.
It's like we used to say about the internet years ago, you know, why is it that I go to the website and you've got different products than when I go to the store? It's because they were, you know, people set up .com businesses that were completely separate and distinct from their core business.
Yeah.
That's a big mistake to make in social. If you're not consistent across all your channels, whether it's social or non-social, people are going to figure it out and they're going to see that you're a fraud.
Hmm.
You know, so there's got to be some level of integration. And without that fit, basically, of the pieces coming together, it's clear that you don't have a strategy.
Is there a direct correlation? Because I know you do a lot of results tracking. How do you, you know, and I want to get into that a little bit. How do you know when you get results and what are you looking for? But is there a direct result between time that you spend associated with involvement in social media and results, or is it not really a correlation?
Yeah, there's a lot of work that's being done in this area, because it used to be, I remember when this first hit about 4 or 5 years ago, you know, the belief was, I got to post every hour. I've got to put something on my, I got to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
It's got the buzzword in MySpace right now is cadence, trying to figure out the right rhythm, the right pace. And I think your question, one of the things you said in your question really is goes to the heart of the matter. It's very dependent upon the type of business that you have and the nature of your customer or your target audience. And anybody would kind of understand this intuitively, but you know, there are certain types of products and services where I need to know on a day-to-day basis. If I'm buying and selling stocks, for example, I need to know certain information. I welcome the cadence because the cadence, faster cadence, may mean more opportunity. There are also things like if I'm buying a house or I'm buying a car, I'm going to do it once in a lifetime or once every 4 or 5 years. I don't need to be bombarded every day with news about the latest and greatest new Porsche, right?
Right.
Unless I've opted in and I'm a fanatic.
Yeah, and right? and that's your gig. It's the thing you love to do.
And it's my hobby.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what I mean by it's a difference between the business, the buying cycle, as well as the target audience member. Are they a fan? You know, where you know they go to Chick-fil-A every day, so yeah. they're willing to accept the text message from you every day, yeah. Or are they just a random audience member who may or may not ever buy from you?
Yeah.
But finding that right cadence, finding that right balance of messaging. By the way, this is true in traditional media as well. That's why we don't see the same 30-second commercial over and over and over again. I mean, people have to, there's a cost associated with it, but there's also a inundation of messages. I mean, people just turn off because they can't, you're creating noise, you're not creating opportunity.
You know, it's interesting. We had a guest on last week that was talking about identification of the right people. You know, who is it that really want that group that's fanatical about your topic or your area? And that same week last week I had a couple of emails and some information come across on wakeboarding. I love lakes. I love everything about boats and water sports, and I'll consume that to the nth degree. And sure enough, every time one of those things came through, I was reading almost the entire thing of it. And I don't have time for 15 seconds of reading, and I was figuring out a way to get time to talk about that. How do you find the people that are that interested in maybe what you have to talk about? And then are your cadence with them different than your cadence with maybe the rest of the population? Can you do that anyway?
Absolutely. I mean, so much of it is about asking. Right, so I don't know if you've raised your hand at some point in time and said, "Hey, I love wakeboarding."
I must have because I got hit by a couple of them here recently. Maybe someone's listening to my show. I guess.
I mean, we talk about it. At Chick-fil-A. They talk about the raving fans, and raving fans are people, by the way, who go there three times a week, which is a lot. That's a lot of chicken sandwiches, right? But in terms of it depends again on the nature of your business. But you can ask, right? You can say, this is one of the reasons why loyalty cards have become so popular, and finding ways to get people to like your Facebook page. That's really all about raising your hand and saying, "Hey, I'm a fan," right? Or "I like this."
Yep.
So that's one source. The other one is you can watch behaviors, right? So one of the areas we're doing a lot of work right now with clients is, trying to find influential people. So if I sell stereo equipment, right, and I want someone to review me, because if I review myself, people don't believe me, right?
Right.
But if I've got the greatest new woofer or whatever,
yeah.
I want to find the most influential stereo guy out there to write a blog about it. And so you can do that. There's tools out there like Radian 6 and Sprinklr that'll allow you to track and monitor what's being said in forums and blogs and Facebook and whatnot. And you can begin to build some algorithms to understand, well, A, does this person really know what they're talking about? B, are they someone who other people listen to?
Yeah.
Right. So they're by their own, just looking at their Twitter followers,
are they a center of influence?
Exactly. And if they are they someone that has they resonate with your brand? Right. So is it somebody? Think of it like a celebrity endorsement, but these are not celebrities. They may be celebrities in the social world, but in the traditional world, they're not.
Yeah.
So it's how do you find people who can endorse for you and be that fan or be that person who's really a lighthouse customer, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, do it in such a way that it's authentic. And I think that's the challenge too, because a lot of people think, well, if I pay Britney Spears a certain amount of money, she'll say that I have great hand cream or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And she'll tweet about it.
Yeah.
Well, and everybody knows that Britney Spears is not tweeting. She's got some agency that's tweeting for her. So what's the point, right? That's not authentic.
Right.
Authentic is your example where I love to wakeboard. I'll read everything I can about it and I'll tell my friends all about it, right? That's an authentic endorsement. And those are gold, right?
So let's talk a little bit about the tracking piece. How do you track your efforts to results when you're dealing with social? I mean, obviously, there's lots of ways that you can do it via the web, and I guess that's maybe the answer. But
you know, it's very early days. It's an issue that is paramount right now, especially for large companies, and maybe less so on the smaller, medium-sized businesses.
Right.
But big companies have been dumping a lot of money into social, and they're, you know, like all good executives, they're expecting an ROI. They want money out of it. They want to see what the value is. I think we're still in very, very early days in terms of results management. That's what we call it. You know, it's tracking, monitoring, and understanding the performance of your social campaigns. The reason I say it's in early days is I think we've come just through a period of time where everybody was experimenting. There's a lot of stuff, money being thrown at things just to see what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, no doubt.
And the measurement tools are not quite yet there in terms of being sophisticated enough to say, hey, this is something that it's repeatable. Right, it's not just lucky. It's not just a one-off. And as a result of that, you know, we're still stuck measuring things like how many likes do you have, you know, or what's the engagement level. You hear these words all the time. What, you know, how many advocates do we have for our brand? A good thing to measure, but just because I like a brand, for example, you're a car guy, so you'll appreciate this. You know, I know a lot of guys who like Ferrari. Right, they'll wear Ferrari hats. They'll wear Ferrari shirts. They're into Ferraris. They can't afford a Ferrari, and they're never going to buy one. They're never going to buy one, right?
So that's not the person you want to be going to, right?
Yeah,
if you're a Ferrari dealer.
I know you don't like the buzzwords, but we have a buzzword for that. We call it virtual consumption.
Yeah.
what that means is I will definitely wear your stuff,
I'll
buy your merchandise, but, man, I'm not a target audience member. And that's what's happening with Facebook and with Twitter today. You've got a lot of people who will follow things and like things, but in reality, they're not your target. Right, they're not the person that's going to be able to either buy or even have a desire to buy your product at some point in the future. So you've got to find a way to kind of break through that clutter. And I think there's a number of tools. I mentioned a couple just a minute ago, Sprinklr, Radian6, some other tools that are coming out that are helping companies better decompose that problem so they can understand the ROI of what's going on. But it's still immature, I think, relative to maybe some other tools that are available for measuring TV and radio, for example, where I think there's much more sophisticated measurement technology.
Well, talking about some of that clutter, and like, you know, we'd like to throw you some nice, easy questions. I'm going to throw a couple at you that have a little more heat on them. But
Andy's the tough guy. Ed McMahon over here.
That's
Ed McMahon over here.
I didn't know we were playing.
I'm Johnny. I'm just trying to help.
Every now and then, I like to put a little slider in there or something. So, you know, but these are two questions that I think are two concerns that are starting to crop up, and for your especially for your small business owners, I think these are important. One, you talked about the clutter. And we're seeing more and more companies out there that are promising to get you followers or promising to get you likes. And at the end of the day, it's junk. I mean, it's a farm program, and they just get a series of computers, you know, overseas to start firing through and spamming. And the next thing you know, you got 3,000 followers. But like you said, none of them care about what you have to say, and nobody's
they're
not even people, right?
They're buying
robots, basically.
Right? and then the other dirty side is that, you know, you got a lot of people out there, just like in the past with websites, we saw this happen. People come out and go, oh, I'm a social media expert, and I see some of these clowns. They got 20 followers, and they don't know social media. They're not an expert, but yet they are out there, they can sell. So they're convincing business owners, yeah, I can help you with social media. And really, it's a money pit. So yeah, take us into that side. And I mean, what types of things should business owners be looking at and aware of to make sure they're making smart decisions in their social media?
Right. Well, let me take the first one, the first hardball question there. The knuckleball.
We'll give you a couple swings here.
The clutter and the followers and likes. I mean, there's no doubt that there's a way to game the system, right? And people, and this is what I love about marketing in general, is people will find a way to game the system and work it to their advantage. I think the only way through that's not going to stop, by the way. I don't think the solution to that is to go out and you know, hunt these people down and stop them from doing what they're doing. I think that there's always going to be some level of virtual consumption and the, you know, followers and likes that are inauthentic, okay? That's not going away. What you can do is, I think in the reason that that's actually happening is that the owners of the business, the either small, medium-sized, large businesses, because they don't have a strategy, it's easy to get infatuated with this idea of likes and followers, right? So you've got to have, if you don't have a strategy, then there's no way to actually bump it up against, say, well, do we really care? I sell, you know, widgets that go into machines that are sold three times a year. do I really need a million followers? No, I need three guys that buy that.
Yeah.
That's all I need, yeah. Right?
They're measuring the wrong thing,
so
right?
So it's to some extent, I put it back on the business itself to say, look, does this fit? You know, we know we sell, you know, I do work with one of the largest airplane manufacturers in the world. There are only about, 17 companies they sell to. You know, so does Boeing need to have, a million likes? I mean, who cares, right? Do I like the 767? Yeah, when I fly on it, but I'm not going to buy one ever, right? But there are 17 airlines out there that would, it would be useful to know what they think, right? And most of these things are not happening, by the way, on Facebook or Twitter, but, they're forums and they're blogs that are much more impactful. So it's in the absence of strategy, that's going to happen. And so the best defense is a good offense. You know, don't, fall for the charlatan that's just trying to get you excited about likes and followers. I do think on the other side, I call them the snake oil salesmen. Like every industry, I think social media has its share of snake oil salesmen that are out there preying on opportunistic, business owners who really are looking for the silver bullet, right? Social media is not a silver bullet. If you go into it with the mentality of this is going to fix my supply chain problems.
Right.
This is going to make my
right. Here's all my clients.
My
just
customers
lining
happy.
Them all up. Right?
It's not. I mean, that's why I said this earlier today. It's if it's not integrated with what you're doing, if it doesn't, if your business model is broken, adding social media to it, it's like putting that Ferrari engine into a VW. It'll just blow the car out. Right? It's not going to solve any problems for you. And I think snake oil salesmen are very good at preying on weakness. Right? So if you don't feel comfortable with where you're at, and you think that's my lifeboat, it's going to save me. You're going to get people are going to take advantage of you, and so I would advise especially small businesses, think about it. Is this really something that's a core part of your business model? Is it going to be something that's going to drive the growth of your business, or are you looking for a safety net or a lifeboat? In which case, don't even think about it. Social is icing on the cake. It's not the end all be all solution to your problems.
And now I'm writing down notes, so I don't have my next question. I'm like, wow, that's good stuff.
Just talk about wakeboarding.
Fast cars and fast wakeboards.
Yep.
So how does somebody go about the process of figuring out a strategy? And where do they start?
Well, I think the first and foremost, most important thing is to kind of do an assessment of yourself, right, of the business, and see kind of where you're at and what's working and what's not. There are a lot of businesses today that I think could benefit from social media, but it may not be number one priority. I mean, there may be some other things that need to be fixed first. So that's kind of, begin with kind of looking inward and saying, hey, is this something that works? The second piece is I think social, more than any other form of media, requires a cross-functional team. So in the old days, you'd go out and you'd hire an advertising expert or, a media buyer, or, you could find functional expertise that could help to drive your marketing into the marketplace. The difference with social is you really need more than just somebody who's going to help you buy, get more followers or help you place, buy keywords. I mean, it's much more complicated than that, because you need an internal system, if you will, people tweeting, posting on Facebook. It's a discipline. It's not a once and done type of thing. So after the assessment of yourself, you have to kind of look at, do we have the resources internally or through our agency or through some outside help to do this, to take it on? Because the other fatal flaw a lot of people do is they dip their toe in the water and they underestimate the amount of effort it's going to take.
Right. Yep.
So we talk about putting together your social team, and it includes sales, marketing, service people, supply chain, R&D potentially, product development folks.
All making inputs on this and reaching out to the
exactly.
core group
and making decisions
content.
About what conversations do we want to be in, what mm-hmm. conversations do we want to drive versus listen to versus just, hang around, monitor. The financial people need to be involved, because I think there's investment that needs to be made in terms of talent. There's investment that needs to be made in terms of media buys, and there's investment that needs to be made in terms of tools. The other big distinction here is, even more so than traditional media, there's a vast quantity of data that's generated from social media interactions. So mm-hmm. all those tweets, all that Facebook stuff, all of that has to be, essentially understood and filtered in a way that it's actionable. So technology is going to come to the forefront in terms of helping, very, very, filter through all that clutter we were talking about before and really zero in on the nuggets that matter to your business. So part of your strategy has to include tech. and what tools are we going to invest in to help us, you know, listen, grasp what's going on, and then choose to engage with our target audience.
So someone's brand new to social. Let's say they've got a small to medium-sized business, and they're trying to look for the right venue to start with. Do you suggest getting involved in all of those big four that you talked about, or saying, look, I'm going to try and get my feet wet with one, you know, get a Twitter account, start listening, like you said, as a kind of a beginning stage, or get a LinkedIn or Facebook or, you know, YouTube or one of those organizations. Do you suggest kind of going in with one, focusing on that as a strategy, or just, hey, you got to get involved in all of them?
It's definitely not, hey, you got to get involved in all of them. I mean, there are certain ones that's kind of a no-brainer, right? And I mentioned this earlier. There's, you know, you're going to have to do something with Twitter. You're going to have to do something with Facebook. That's pretty much a given. Depending on the nature of your business, I'm a big YouTube fan because I think video is far more engaging. It's the old, you know, picture tells a thousand words.
Yeah.
That's true in the social world as well. And so any kind of video content is going to definitely help you more than imagery and text.
Yeah.
So those three are pretty much a no-brainer for me. I think, depending on the business that you're in, Pinterest I'm a big fan of because I think, especially if you're going after hobbyists of any shape or form, right? So people who love wakeboarding, people who love, you know, collecting stuff. Pinterest is sort of the hobbyist, you know, area. So if you've got a very specific offer around things that affinity groups like,
mm-hmm.
it's a great place to be. For teens and tweens, you know, Instagram has become huge. So it depends on who you're going after.
Right.
And then each of those tools may or may not be able to provide that target audience to you.
Gotcha. So if somebody came to you and said, okay, Dave, I'm ready to go. I want to hire you to come and help me and my business develop a marketing kind of plan and have social as a big part of that. What would be the process they'd go through with you?
The first thing we would do is we'd essentially lay out the approach I just did, show them essentially the steps. I mean, what are the things that need to be done? Scope out the problem. You know, I'm a big believer in our business in particular of trying to minimize the complexity. So instead of trying to do a million things at one time, we would scope it down to one specific project, right? Let's put our toe in the water. Let's develop a Facebook app or let's develop a Facebook presence and let's test it. Let's monitor it. Let's not put a ton of money into it. Let's just test and see what works. And if it works, double down and put more money into it. So I'm also a big believer in, you know, pay as you go kind of a model where, you know, if we're successful, that success can fund the next investment.
Yep.
So instead of it being a multi-million dollar, multi-year program, it tends to look more like project, 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 project. And at the end of each project, you're assessing, did the investment pay off? And if it did, how much more do we want to invest to kind of grow to the next level? And that tends to be our approach to working with clients is smaller is better and short periods of time and getting to a quick win as fast as we can.
On the tracking piece, I know we kind of talked about tracking in general. Is mm-hmm. there a specific way that you say, okay, I know we got this result from this campaign?
It depends on the business, but usually if it's around a sales process, right, we're testing for conversion. Mm-hmm. So we're using the social campaign or the social interaction as a way to drive a sale of something. The other area we're doing a lot of work currently is on the service side. So we're using customer service or customer sat or net promoter score as ways to measure, was that a happy customer, right? I mean, are they happier because of the way we dealt with the problem? I think what a lot of your listeners may not know is that, you know, it used to be people would complain by calling the call center. Now they just go to their mobile device, they tweet, you know, I'm really mad at Comcast or I'm really mad at, you know, yeah, XYZ Corporation, and you'll never even know about it. So a big part of, you know, a lot of the work we do now is how do you listen for those opportunities to improve service and respond and mm-hmm. turn a customer, you know, from a very negative person or someone who's not an advocate for you into someone who's really a positive, you know, customer advocate, you know, going forward. So each of those different types of programs would have different measures associated with it. It might be customer sat, might be conversion rate, might be brand strength or brand advocacy. You know, we're not, like I said, we're not big advocates of using likes and follows as a measure, but they are a pretty good leading indicator of, you know, how strong is your brand in the social space. So it's a good proxy for, you know, are you having an impact with your brand?
Right. Good stuff. That's great information. The last question that I had, I don't know if Andy, you have any other questions top of mind?
No, I've thrown a couple hard ones at him. I'll let him off the hook.
Pearl of wisdom. What would you say to our listeners as kind of a pearl of wisdom to close out?
Yeah, and I don't know if this is a pearl of wisdom or a crystal ball gazing comment, but I really would like your listeners to keep in mind that there's one other thing we haven't talked about at all, and it's important to recognize because it's coming and it may already be here for that matter. Social, unlike a lot of the other traditional forms of campaigns and media, is inherently mobile, right? So we haven't talked about mobile phones, smartphones. If mobile isn't part of your strategy today, and my advice, get out in front of it because people are not sitting at their computer screen like Andy is right now and doing social. That's not the future. The future is, you know.
It's right now. I'm in a meeting. I just heard something really cool. Bam, and it's out there.
Right. And it's location specific. You know, it's happening inside the grocery store, or inside the Chick-fil-A. It is a inherently volatile environment, and you need to build that into your strategy. Yeah. So if you're not thinking about mobile and how you're going to reach your customers and your prospects in mobile, you're missing the game.
All right. Well, good stuff. Thank you for your time. We appreciate you sharing your insights. Dave Sutton with Top Right, and he is a consultant around social media and creating innovation through social media. We appreciate, again, your time. And for our listeners, thank you for signing in. Until next week, be safe.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation.